Welcome to KJV Cafe. Thanks for taking time out of your day to listen. Each episode of the cafe is dedicated to studying the Bible verse by verse from Genesis through Revelation. Your host here at the cafe is Bible teacher Clark Covington. Looks like the coffee is hot and ready, so let's get started.
Amen. Glory to God. Welcome to the program. Welcome to the cafe. Pastor Clark Covington here with another episode of KJV Cafe. So good to be here. Amen. Today we are in Genesis 7, and our focus verse is going to be at least Genesis 7, verse 7. recapping here a little bit, we have the culmination of God's judgment coming upon the earth here in Genesis 7. And we see that Noah was obedient to everything that God commanded him to do. And we start to get some depth here as to how patient God had been. Because in Genesis 7, it tells us that Noah was 600 years old when God flooded the earth. And so once we understand that, we can look at things like how old Noah's dad was when he died about 5 years before the flood. We look at Methuselah, Noah's grandpa, dying the year of the flood, and this oldest one recorded to ever live at 969 years. We can even look at his great-grandpa Enoch walking with the Lord 365 years and never tasting death because he went to be with the Lord. So we see there was this righteous line here, starting with Seth, right? Adam and Eve have Seth, all the way to Noah. And then we even start to see that, look, you know what? Noah ends up living another 350 years after the flood. He almost was as old as his grandpa dying. Amen. So Noah was one of the oldest people to ever live. I think that's something that a lot of people don't realize. And speaking of time, there's like these little kind of milestones that we look at in scripture. And one of the most important is you look at the line of Abraham, right? And the chosen child, Isaac, who then has Israel, Jacob, who comes Israel. And we know Jacob being the literal patriarch of the 12 tribes of Israel, his 12 sons, right? And it was just 518 years after the flood that Israel comes on the scene. So less time than before when Noah got on the ark. He was 600 when he got on the ark. So less time thereafter. And matter of fact, only 162 years after Noah's death does Israel come on the scene. Sometimes when we read the scriptures, I'm guilty of this, I read them in a way that I'm not quite sure of the time, but I just assume there's like these massive amounts of time in between these occurrences. And Noah dies, and just 162 years later, amen, Israel's on the scene, amen. So it's really incredible to see how quickly God moves after the flood, how things start to speed up, how God starts to not suffer man more than 120 years, right? And so we see all these things, and that brings us to Genesis 7, verse 7, and we're going to tackle that when we come back from this break, so stay tuned.
You're listening to KJV Cafe. We encourage you to look us up on your favorite podcast app and subscribe to our channel on YouTube. Now let's get back to some more in-depth Bible study.
All right, so here we are in Genesis 7, 7. And Noah went in, and his sons, and his wife, and his sons' wives with him, into the ark because of the waters of the flood. So we see God's perfect number, 7, and we see it here, not just once in the chapter 7, but in the verse 7, and we see that this is God's number of completion. The Lord created the earth in 6 days and rested on the seventh. Amen. Man is associated with a number of 6 in the Bible, and that's one short of 7. Man always falls short of God's standard because Romans 3:23 tells us we've all fallen short. We all are sinners. We all fall short the glory of God. 7 is looked at in the Bible as a complete number. Again, God's number of completion. Sometimes it deals with 7 times 7, dealing with the time the Israelites were held in captivity, you know, like 490 years or whatever it might be. Sometimes 7 deals with, again, righteousness. We see in the timeline that 770 years was the life of a great man of God, Lamech, Noah's dad. I had it and I forgot it. And then I searched it up, but Lamech lived 777 years. And that, by the way, is the godly Lamech. There's two of them in the Bible. And there's one that we talked about of Cain's wicked line that was presumably wiped out at the flood. And then we have the godly one as well. And we see here that seven is used over and over again. You see it all over the Bible. I think there's over 50 references to the number seven in the book of Revelation alone. And you just see it everywhere. So we see God's number. 1656, by the way, is how long time went by from creation to the flood as we understand it. Five being the number of grace and six being the number of man. So you could even pull stuff out there. I'm not saying that like we need to just study the numbers in the Bible and get into all these numbers, but it would be silly to say that God doesn't have a pattern for how he uses numbers, like the number 40, you know, the time of testing. It rained 40 days and 40 nights. Jesus was in the wilderness, tempted of the devil, 40 days. Jesus walked the earth 40 days and 40 nights after his resurrection. I mean, so it's crazy to say these numbers don't exist. I just think it's very interesting that in the seventh verse of the seventh chapter of the first book in the Bible, we see Noah and his family getting on the ark because the flood was about to take place. The whole world was turned upside down. And Noah, trusting God, after 600 years of living, gets on the ark. That is amazing. I mean, look, some people can't trust God a week. Some people are in church on Sunday, and Monday they're out in the world, and they can't trust what they heard from the preacher on Sunday or what they read in the Bible on Sunday. Some people can't trust God a day, right? They're there one day, and then, in the morning, let's say they're at church in the morning hearing God's word, or they're studying the Bible or trying to seek the Lord in the morning, and by the evening, they're out at the bar getting wild, or they're out doing something they shouldn't do, or on their phone looking at something they shouldn't look at. It's incredible. And we see Noah obedient. And let me point this out. This is not man's strength that brings, it wasn't like Noah was just so strong, okay? It wasn't like Noah set his own clock to live 900 plus years. It's God through Noah. And so Noah is submissive and obedient, and God can use that for us here today. For ones that are just struggling with the bondage of sin, here's how you defeat it. You submit to God and you ask God to do it through you. You know, there were things in my life that I had really bad, like messed up, that were not good, okay? Matter of fact, there's more than I could mention here. I wouldn't have time to mention all the sinful habits that I had as a young adult. And I didn't even know some of these things. Some I was aware of, and some, I guess, my conscience was so seared. I was living in the world, amen. I was so out in the world. And you know what I did? I would try myself to act better, and I would fail every time. But when I asked God to help me, it seemed like he cleaned it all up, because I just said, Lord, I can't do this on my own, but you can. And he just cleans it up. I mean, I can think of some sinful things, one habit in particular that I had. And I'll just be honest. I think it's okay to say on here. When I was young, I had a penchant for saying bad words. Okay. I was young. I was just no excuse other than I really had a penchant for saying bad words. And I remember coming to an understanding that that wasn't a godly thing to do, that people of God didn't speak like that. And I prayed to God and asked him to help me clean that up. And I really wanted to clean it up, because I didn't want to have that my future wife, I didn't want her to ever hear that, and guess what? That was it. He cleaned it up. I mean, that was it. Like, that was the end of it, like, I wish there was more to the story, but that's it. I knew someone, that had a opiate addiction, a serious addiction to a very, very brutal, deadly drug. And they tried to get clean. Nothing would work, And they went over there to a program that's Christian-based, that's Bible-based, that does not use any of the traditional methods that these other clinics use, that I understand, that has Bible study in the morning, chapel in the morning, work all day, chapel at night, church meetings, revival meetings. They keep these young men and women busy. And this program resolved it. And the reason why is it wasn't the program, it was the method the program was using of giving it to God. Giving it to God. So Noah wasn't obedient to God out of his own strength. He was obedient to God out of his own submission. Paul writes that when I am weak, then I'm made strong. Paul wasn't the great man of God that we know by his own strength or ability. Conversely, it was battling his own strength and ability. Because remember, he was super smart, a Hebrew of the Hebrew, a Pharisee of the Pharisees, all these things. He had to give it to God. It's despite those things that God was able to use him. And so God took a persecutor of the church, an enemy of the church, and turned him into one of the greatest apostles that ever lived, the apostle to the Gentiles. Now, God did that not just because Paul was suited for the job, but God did that to show us that all things are possible with God. So when you get into Philippians, you read that all things are possible through Christ who strengtheneth me. I can do all things, you know. When you read that, it's not about scoring points in a game, you know, or hitting the lotto. It's not about living large for yourself. It's about what God can do through you and with you for his causes. Let me say that again, for his causes through Christ, through the working of the Holy Spirit. Noah was obedient 600 years before the flood came. Amen. How many people would have given up? But that means that he was submitted to God. He was obedient to God, and God did it through him. Amen. And not just Noah, but his family. They all got on the ark, right? So they may not have been perfect. We don't believe they are, but they believed in God, and Noah being the head, they followed Noah. And that's another lesson. So as the head of my house, we've got three kids here. And as the head of my house, I have to lead the house. And if there is rebellion in the house, and you know kids will be rebellious, I can't have it because I have to explain biblically my role is to lead the house. Oh, you know, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if your opinion is this or this or that. I don't use that to be abusive. I don't use that for my own gain. I hope I don't, you know, but I have to be the head. And those that follow are blessed because we are following God's order. And so if you had a bunch of rebellious kids there saying, you know what, Noah, Dad, you're crazy. I don't believe you. And they're out in the world, then they would have perished. But because they were obedient to at least their father, and they, you know, again, what their relationship was like with God, I have no idea. But Noah's building an ark at a time when no one had ever even seen anything like this. And they were there presumably helping him for 100 years, seeing all this happen, you know. Being married, you know, their wives, you don't think their wives were maybe doubting, you know, they weren't born into this family. You know how the whole in-law thing gets. And yet they all got on the ark. And so this shows us not only a picture of godly obedience, of the Holy Spirit working through man, it also shows us the importance of the family structure, of the dad being we call it in our house, chief chicken. The dad's the chief chicken. The dad's the head honcho, right? And that dad is completely submitted to God. And so God is giving the dad or the father, the head of the house, the info and the instruction and the way to live, right? So here is where you go astray. Man thinks that they have some ideas. They command everyone to follow their ideas, not God's. And then all of a sudden they're like a Pharisee. They're laying a heavier burden on their family than they should. So the man of God must be sold out to God and obedient to God for God to be able to then bless that family as a whole. The household was blessed. The household was saved. They all got on the boat. Amen. They all got on the ark. They were all saved. And this is unique. And we'll talk about this next episode because the animals, they were all saved out of their instinct to do what God tells them to do. But man, given free will, had the option to not. And again, the example I gave last episode was like Lot's sons-in-law. So Lot's had daughters who were to be married, and the sons-in-law wouldn't go with Lot to flee Sodom because they thought Lot was kidding. They were joking. They were mocking him. And what happened to them? They all died. They all perished. And so we see that obedience is the key and submission to God to salvation. Obedience and submission to God. How can we be saved if we don't believe, if we're not obedient? Tune in next time as we get deeper into Genesis 7. Thank you for listening. God bless and amen.
Thanks for spending time with us today at the cafe. We would love to hear from you. You can email Brother Clark directly at clark@enduringpromise.org. See you again tomorrow. Same time, same place.